Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess.
Beauty. Beauty for everyone. Let's do it. We are going to talk about food allergies and can they affect the products that you put on your skin? Mm. Then I'm calling it the Fenty effect.
I love that.
We've been seeing more and more lines with inclusive color ranges and we want to talk about it and why it's good and what we're going to be seeing coming next. Last up, you guys probably heard the news about Hawaii making and passing a skincare bill that like will ban certain sunscreens because they are not reef safe. So we want to just go over what exactly that means and what sunscreens are really good for the environment, or at least not bad for the environment.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Who is our fabulous guest this episode?
We have Ukanwa Ojo. She's the SVP of CoverGirl, and she's going to, you know, give us a little bit of a like state of the union on where we are in the beauty industry and talk about all the cool things happening at CoverGirl.
Jess, I've always wondered this about you, and people now know you have an almond allergy. Wherever we go, people are on the lookout for Jess and her
allergy. Really thoughtful.
But my mom's favorite body lotion is Cherry Almond from Jergens.
Sure.
Almonds are in like body scrubs, face scrubs. What happens if you have a food allergy? Does it like affect your skin topically?
So somebody, thank you so much. Forgive me. I'm scrambling for your letter. Had like DM'd me or emailed me about this topic because they saw that I was allergic and they have an allergy too. Now, I asked my allergist last week. I'm going for allergy shots, guys. This is like a new thing for me. But I asked her about this exact question. And the answer is not as, so unfortunately, it's not as authoritative and like hard and fast as we'd hope. Some people are super allergic to like, let's say if you have an almond allergy, somebody might freak out if they're using like a lip balm that has almond oil in it. And a lot of them do. But some people, it's fine. Like she said, some people with an almond allergy can have an almond and then just feel a little like itchy or tired or something, whatever the reaction is. And it's like anything, like it's the cliche of like, no nuts in the cupcakes, you know, like Tommy has to leave the room. Like, you know, like they're airborne and they're so allergic. So it really like, it varies from person to person. Now for me personally, her advice was to patch test, which is putting just a little bit on a patch of your skin, like either the inside of your forearm or I often go by my neck, like right underneath my chin, because mm-hmm. I tend to get like itchier there if I'm feeling allergic. Someplace that's like a delicate area of skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that can like help you suss out, and hopefully you have like your Benadryl or like, God forbid, your EpiPen if there's a problem.
Right.
Now, she did say I would never get a treatment done. Like, I would let your spa therapist know.
Oh, right.
And I, because it's easier to manage a problem if you've just patch tested it versus like an almond souffle, like, you know, mask, then it's
right,
gonna cause
all over.
Right. And I have a story to go with this. It's like 12 years ago or something. I went in for a body scrub at this spa.
Okay.
And I was trying to be polite. I don't know why, but I was like suffering through feeling like my legs were like on fire, itchy, crawling with bugs. And then the lady said, "Are you okay?" And she starts like looking, and I look down, my legs were all bubbled up. Super
like
gross.
Hives.
Like hives. Yeah. And we had to immediately stop the treatment. She this poor woman, it was like her own spa. So she, of course, was dying. She went and got like a ton of cortisone, got a Benadryl. Guys, always have a Benadryl on you or some other antihistamine. And I took it. But I remember it didn't go down for like a day or two.
So it was like a crushed up almond.
Crushed up almond.
They're a common exfoliator.
Very
right?
common.
Yeah.
And here's the other rub. I remember it really itching because probably, again, this is a long time ago, I had shaved. So if I've shaved,
yeah,
I don't use anything on my legs.
That might be an allergy.
I just let them cool for like a day, because if you're allergic even a little bit, once that pore is open and like ready.
And fresh skin, yeah, ready to absorb.
Totally. Or if you like, you know, wax your upper lip or eyebrows or something, it's like game on. Mm-hmm. So I would really be cautious about using anything with almond oil.
For that particular
allergy.
Yeah, It's funny because when I saw all the gluten-free beauty products coming out, I was like, why do we need to be gluten-free with our beauty products? I thought it was just – there is some trendiness to it, obviously.
Sure.
But if you have celiac disease and you are that gluten intolerant, then, yeah, putting a shampoo that has, you know, a wheat – hydrolyzed wheat protein, mm-hmm. which is like a common ingredient in shampoo – could be a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if people out there have noticed that their food allergy also is a beauty allergy for them. Like, I wonder what the percentage is on that. So DM us
yeah.
if you're like one of those people. I want to like figure this out more.
We talk about this all the time, but like the natural extracts, you know, people want all natural.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that can really mess you up more than like a synthetic.
Yeah, lanolin I keep hearing about too, which is obviously a wool byproduct, and a lot of people are allergic to that.
There's always like strawberry scrubs that come out like beautiful, like super organic.
Yeah, Peter Thomas Roth used to have that strawberry scrub. It was lovely.
I mean,
not if you have a strawberry allergy.
Yeah, natural ingredients are they're no joke. So just use with caution.
So inclusivity in the beauty industry is a big topic for the two of us. We've talked about it on the podcast mm-hmm. for a while. And it's been happening all across beauty, mass, prestige. But at the Dior Resort Show, I thought this was big news, they previewed their new foundation range, which has 40 shades, which I thought was big for a French-owned, like, super luxury foundation, mm-hmm. 40 shades.
I'm seeing that number a lot, right?
Okay, but how many did Fenty have when it launched? 40, right?
Don't quote me, but they definitely had at least 40.
It's something about that number is now, I doubt that's just that they're like 40 shade tones of people in the world. But
yeah.
It just says to the customer, I think, like, okay, we're serious. We really are trying to be a big wide range of colors. Have you seen any other ones that have come out recently?
I'm seeing it in the color market. Like, well, foundation is color, but like in more like fun cosmetics. Like mm-hmm. they're... Did you ever meet with that brand Mented? They're fabulous.
No, what's
it's
Mented?
So there are two women, Amanda Johnson and KJ Miller. So they met at Harvard Business School, and they decided to create this color line of like lipsticks just for women with like women of color, because like a nude won't necessarily read the same way.
Was the problem. The word nude for so long wasn't
exactly.
That like peachy beige is nude.
Completely.
Nude for who?
So they're all like, you know, vegan nude lipsticks, and they're formulated just for women of color. And the shade ranges are awesome. Like, I mean, I looked at them. I wore one. You don't need to be a woman of color to enjoy this line, but I love the fact that it exists. And they just got a lot of money. They got $1 million in capital. This was in Forbes. And also, like the thing you were saying, like the nude conversation, that it feels like weird that this has gone, it's taken this long for it to come to beauty, because fashion's been doing this for a while. There's a lingerie line called Nubian Skin.
Yeah.
Christian Louboutin had different nudes because people who want like that long illusion.
Yeah, you like know, when they always say, like, get a skin tone matching pump and your legs look longer.
Right, but skin isn't like peachy flash.
And that peachy beige was what, it was so funny. Yeah. It was like this one color that, like, for some reason, people decided, okay, this is nude, which feels right. So wrong.
There's just a lot more attention to, like, inclusivity in terms of color. And, like, I even saw this product that it's called Black Girl Sunscreen, and they're really getting a lot of traction. I see them all over Instagram.
Great name.
But it's straightforward. But the point is, like, guess what? Like, your SPF, your daytime SPF cream leaves me looking, like, pallid. So,
So it's really that it's not just foundations. That's funny that you said that. Because in my head, I was like, yeah, everybody's doing a large range of foundations. But like you said, it's the lip color being, like, a nude that works. Or even those Bare Minerals eyeshadow primers I was talking about last week. They came out. It's supposed to match your lid. And there's, like, 12 shades of nude. They call it, like, Generation Nude. So it's not just the foundation.
Right, they had that with the lip glosses, too.
Yeah. I remember, yeah.
So it... You know, it feels so crazy that, like, okay, the hair care market has understood this for a long time. Like, not everyone has the same kind of hair.
Yeah.
Fashion has understood it. But, like, hello, skin products, it's taking this long.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited about this boom that we see.
We'll see who else comes out next.
Yeah, they won't be the last.
And maybe our guest has something to say about this. We'll ask her.
Hmm. Oh, my gosh, Jen, did you hear Sally Hershberger on the Barney's podcast?
I was a little jealous, I have to say. She gave a great interview.
That's awesome.
She talks about, you know, she created the Meg Ryan shag. She talks about how she's running around with Joan Jett and Olivia Newton-John. And she gave Tom Cruise a buzz cut by accident. Scary.
Yeah, it was super interesting. Make sure to check out Sally Hershberger on the Barney's podcast and all kinds of other cool creative types.
So when you were in your honeymoon in Hawaii...
Splashing around.
I don't know if this timed correctly, but as you know, Hawaii has passed a ban on certain sunscreens because they're not reef safe. Did you hear any news about that when you were there?
Well, my cousin actually is so cute and so nice. He texted me on the way there and he said, you know, if you go in the ocean, you should be wearing reef safe, you know, so reef safe SPF. And I said, okay, yeah, we talked about that, you know. Thank you. But, and I thought, okay, when I get there... I had a few different brands with me, and I wasn't quite sure. But when I got to the hotel, they had huge vats of one of my favorite sunscreens, Sunbum, which said it's reef safe, and they urged you to use the Sunbum.
A reef safe version.
Yes, exactly. So I thought it was my cousin being, like, really, like, cool, and, like, you know, he's very eco-friendly. Love him. But, no, he was, like... He's part of the national conversation right now.
Yeah, this isn't just like ahead of the game. The legislation bans oxybenzone, which is a common chemical sunscreen. In case you guys have not heard us preach about this enough, chemical sunscreens are the ones that absorb the light instead of reflecting it. And then the other ones that are sometimes called mineral or physical sunscreens are the ingredients that reflect the light. So those are the titanium dioxide and zinc oxide, whereas the chemical ones end in like ENE, ANE, ONE. So the two ingredients that they're banning are oxybenzone, like I said, and octinoxate. I mean, there's years before this fully goes into effect. I think it's 2021 is when they will no longer be sold in Hawaii because they've been shown to lead to coral bleaching. I know.
So when the fish die, we all go.
Well, the fish may be dying because of other reasons too. That's the only thing that bothers me about all this. Like they say, okay, we're banning these two particular ingredients. There are so many chemicals in beauty products that could also be contributing. But
that's
this
a great
is
point.
The only one that they have good, strong causal research in order to pass this. But for example, I was in Mexico and I got to swim with whale sharks. Animal safe people, this was not like go swim with the dolphins, which by the way is...
You in a cage?
No, this was like 2-3 hour boat ride out to the middle of nowhere. Maybe we'll see them, maybe we won't, but they were migrating through the area. Whale sharks are not, they don't have teeth. They have like the baleen or whatever it's called, so they filter plankton.
Oh, like little...
But they're huge.
Yeah, they could still whack you with their tail.
Oh my God,
like,
and did
you
they
with
ever?
Their nose.
Oh my God, it was like one of the most amazing experiences of my life. But, and... It was very animal safe for those of you who are thinking about that because not only were we not allowed to touch them, they weren't in cages or anything like that, we weren't allowed to have any products on. They were like, you can't just not have sunscreen. You can't have body lotion on, makeup, anything like that. They want you to rinse off before you even get on the boat.
Smart.
Because you can't say it's just this one thing that's causing environmental problems. So for and the other thing to think about is even the physical sunscreens, the micronized ones or nano size, which is, I think, smaller than 100 nanometers. The coral can eat them. They're bad for them that way. So just keep that in mind when you're choosing a sunscreen this summer. And I wanted to know from you, what's the one you like? Was it Sunbum you're using?
Sunbum. They had tubs and tubs, like big, like as if there was ketchup in them, you know, like with the big pumps. It was awesome. Sunbum SPF 50 original sunscreen lotion. It is reef safe and it is. It smells incredible. It smells like summer. It's the best smell.
And the one I like, if you're looking for a physical sunscreen, which we think are safer for the environment, MD Solar Sciences, their mineral version, is really nice and rubs in well. It's like a nice cream lotion.
Nice.
So if you guys have a favorite reef-safe sunscreen, please DM us, share it with us, tweet us, all that good stuff. We want to hear from you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So we are here with Ukanwa Ojo, the senior vice president at CoverGirl and the woman behind a lot of the changes that we're seeing at the brand. We're watching. And you're also kind of a marketing genius. So
Okay.
I know.
That's a tall order.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to get to that straight away.
Okay.
So you were not first. Welcome.
Thank
Ukanwa.
You.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
It's so cool to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you weren't always in beauty. When I met you, I heard this huge resume of like, I've been at this brand, that brand, and they weren't beauty brands.
No.
What's your background?
Yeah. So my background is in marketing, consumer products, goods marketing.
Okay.
And I've worked at a number of different companies. So my first job out of business school was with General Mills, and I worked on Cheerios and Progresso and a lot of different Betty Crocker. And then I went on to work at Reckitt Benckiser, and I ran the French's.
Sorry?
Reckitt Benckiser.
Okay.
And I ran the French's business there.
Oh, like French's?
French's
mustard?
French fried onions, green bean casserole. I know all this has nothing to do with beauty.
No, the green bean casserole is delicious. It's a hit every year, right?
It's absolutely delicious. And then I left that. I moved to London, and I ran Durex, master brand.
Yes.
So I like to talk about the fact that I've done food and sex. So two passion categories. So not beauty, but they are passion categories.
Did you make up that phrase, a passion category?
I guess so.
See, this is what I'm saying, marketing genius. I'm like, I want to work in passion categories. Is beauty a passion category?
Totally a passion category. It's impulsive. People just love it. You can never get enough. They're really seduced by it. And that's basically what I mean by passion categories. Is there some seduction involved? So like with food, like we all want to lose weight in January because we like ate more than we all wanted to.
And but so we also want to eat. I was thinking about that green bean casserole.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm like, yeah. So with food, I think you don't have to convince people to participate in the category. You just have to get them to choose you. So that's how I think about like passion categories.
I love
Same
that.
Same thing with sex. Like you don't have to beg people to have sex, right? With Durex, like they want to. It's just you want them to choose you. And the same thing with beauty. Like people love beauty. And so it's just like convincing them that they should be a part of your brand and they should be a, like you can be a part of their life, but they want to participate in the category and that's not what you have to convince them of. And I love working in categories that are like that because they're just so much fun. The people are having fun. You're having fun. It's just, it's really creative.
It's not a hard sell.
No, it's not a hard sell at all.
Okay.
So that's the common thread there. And then in terms of beauty, I'm a total beauty junkie personally. My mom was a fashion designer. So I grew up in a fashion and beauty household. So I've always kind of loved the category. I didn't really think about it. I don't know why as a career path. But once it was suggested to me, I was like, oh my God, like this totally makes sense. And so I joined a year and a half ago and it was an amazing decision because if anything, I think people think I'm having way too much fun at my job. and I'm like, I totally love this. Like I'm here to stay. Like it totally worked out. So it's really cool.
So when you got to CoverGirl, what was the first thing you wanted to do? Because you said you're a beauty girl. So
yeah,
you
must total have had beauty some, girl.
You must have had some like thoughts and perceptions before you walked in the door.
Yeah, I think... So a couple of things. One, because I was new to beauty, I wanted to spend a lot of time listening, especially listening to the people who buy, because that's one of the scary things about joining an iconic brand. We've done all kinds of studies, and CoverGirl is the most beloved, most iconic brand in beauty, and a lot of people believe that, right? So when you take over the helms of that, you're like, okay, how can I move this forward, but respecting everything that's wonderful that's been done before you were a part of it. And so that's one of the first things I wanted to do was just really read through a lot of things and listen to the teams, listen to the people, listen to our retailers. Like, what do you think is really working about this brand? And like, make sure you don't touch, you know, you don't mess with it. And then what can you do that kind of moves it forward? And I think the biggest thing that I love about CoverGirl is the fact that it's always stood for inclusivity. So I think a lot of people are doing inclusivity now. But CoverGirl was inclusive before inclusive was cool. And that's because it's in the DNA of the brand, right? The whole reason is called CoverGirl because the founder wanted to take the makeup of CoverGirls and make it available to every girl. Yeah. And so that DNA I find really interesting. I think there's always more that we can do with that from an ethnicity standpoint, from an age standpoint. And recently we've done from a vocational standpoint. We're always pushing the boundaries there.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, but I really love that the brand's always stood for inclusivity, even before it was a buzzword. And that really drew me in. As far as what... differences I wanted to make to the brand, I would say a couple things. One was in listening to people and listening to women in particular, I felt that calling makeup a cosmetic was actually not giving it enough credence for what it does in people's lives.
What were some of the things women said to you about like what they use makeup for and what their relationship with it?
Yeah, and they didn't. It wasn't something that they were very conscious about. But then when you talk to them and you observe them, you realize that every day as they were kind of standing in front of the mirror and their makeup bag, depending on what they had to accomplish that day, they were creating how they wanted the world to perceive them, and that changed from occasion to occasion. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And the reason why they did that is because it's so intricately linked with confidence. And so the way that we talk about it is like makeup gives women superpowers. And that beauty and I think that power was something that I felt like given the iconic status of CoverGirl, like this was a brand that could actually go there and have that conversation and really seed that. And so that's where the new tagline, I am what I make up, really came from.
Yeah.
Was recognizing that this was a very powerful role that makeup was already playing in people's lives, even though they didn't articulate that or necessarily consciously reflect on that.
Yeah.
There was the opportunity to really bring that to the forefront. And when you did, and they would kind of think about it, they were like, oh my God, that's so true. Because when I have a meeting, I have a look for that. And when I'm meeting with my girlfriends, I totally have a look for that. And when I have a wedding, I have a look for that. And when you kind of dig underneath that, it helps them to navigate all the different roles that they play in life. And so that was the biggest thing that we wanted to make sure that we delivered on. And when we tried to reconcile that with our tagline at the time, which was easy, breezy, beautiful.
Sing it. Come on. I like that tagline.
I love it too.
I feel sad about that.
You had your work cut out of like trying to get people to.
Yeah. It is a beautiful tagline. But the only thing was it sometimes stopped us from doing what was right for the person. And I'll talk, and the reason why is because we said we were easy breezy. So if she was talking to us about the transformation that she wanted for a particular event, and let's say, for example, it involved a ton of glitter or a heavy contour.
Right.
What I would hear from the team is, we don't do that. We're easy breezy.
Okay. Right. Yeah. It's not the first thing I think of.
Right.
So you're excluding yourself from an entire category.
Right. So it's just like, no, we shouldn't judge, right? Because if makeup is this powerful tool, all of that transformation, we should celebrate. It's all part of the brand and we can deliver that. And she really trusts us and she loves us. And we have the technology to bring her these amazing products. So let's just do that. And let's not judge her for that. And let's be her partner as like she or he navigates through all these different situations.
So you're trying to get the customer that like would dismiss CoverGirl as like, oh, they don't have like, I don't like, for lack of a better word, like real makeup. Like if I want like the hard stuff.
Right.
I need to go someplace else.
In the past, you had to. Right now, you don't. So I think with our spring collection, we closed a lot of those gaps. And then same thing with our fall collection. We're bringing some really cool products. And we've just sent out a number of different products to influencers. And it's actually really cool to watch because this brand has existed since 1961. Everybody knows CoverGirl.
Yeah,
and to watch people try the products and go, oh my God,
CoverGirl.
Yeah, they're like, CoverGirl, what? That's exactly what we were trying to do. It's just like, we can be part of all of that because we actually have our own R&D team. Like we come up with our own stuff and our products are incredibly good. And we just want the opportunity to participate in a number of categories that we don't necessarily.
So you did like a lot of focus groups, I imagine. You're a marketing woman.
Yes.
Were you surprised by anything you were hearing from customers today? We feel like we get a lot of pushback from people that are like, oh, beauty, it's just superficial. You're trying to sell me something I don't need. Did you get any of that from, you know, strong feminist women, or was it more like, this is a great thing, everybody needs to be involved?
I know. Yeah, we, and that's why I was saying that makeup actually doesn't get the credit that it deserves, because when we were talking to people, we realized if we allowed them to go there, that it was a very powerful tool for them. Mm-hmm. And if you told them, okay, so you have that big meeting today, go without makeup, it would literally freak a lot of people out.
Oh,
they would be like, no,
that.
That's my armor. Like, I don't feel like I'm ready until I've put my face on. Like, that's the face I want to show. I want to be confident. I need my power red. For some women, it was like a red lip. Like, if I don't have my red lip, I just don't feel like I'm ready yet.
Now, for some people, I hear you said armor. I worked with a woman who I remember she was said, like, you know, my clothes are my armor. Like, my Celine is my armor. Do you feel that what you're doing with CoverGirl, which is I am what I make up, I'm going to ask you in a second just to describe that tagline for anyone who hasn't seen it. I doubt they haven't seen it. Do you feel that conversation that's been happening, like the armor or the occasion, like occasion dictating the look, has that been happening in fashion for a while? Or do you think like it just hasn't really been spoken about?
That's fair. Because the closest, as we were talking to people, the closest thing that I would come to makeup would be high heels. Because for a lot of people, they're like, that's when I have my game. Like when I put on my heels, like I mean business, like I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And so I would say that, which is fashion, right? Because your look really depends. If you're hanging out with your girlfriends, it's a totally different look than if you feel like you had to go to an interview.
Absolutely. Because
you totally get in the mood as well, right? When you put
you get into costume. Character.
Yeah, you get into character. And so makeup is part of that. I think fashion is definitely part of that. I think that makeup is also part of that. But I just feel like it's a category that no one had ever thought about the role that it played like that. Right. And we just surfaced it a little bit.
So in the I Am What I Make Up campaign, can you just quickly say like how you guys have surfaced that?
Yeah. So for us, I Am What I Make Up means that with a mirror, your makeup bag, and your creativity, that you have the power to create whatever version of yourself you want to show the world. And that's basically what it means to us. Mm-hmm. And we've sat through as a team and come through all kinds of different occasions. We've worked with a lot of people to talk about a lot of the different occasions that they go through. And we realized that for some of those occasions, we didn't have the right products. And so in our spring collection, we launched 114 SKUs. And it really did help us really close that gap. And we're super excited about the stuff that we're coming out in the fall as well. That would be the second thing that was surprising to me, is that CoverGirl had always been about inclusivity.
Yeah.
But you will still hear people talk about the fact that the beauty industry is not as inclusive as it could be. And so that was also something that was extremely important, I would say, to Coty as a company. So CoverGirl is part of Coty. It's actually the mission of Coty's to liberate and celebrate the diversity of beauty. And CoverGirl really felt like a brand that could really lead the charge on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so inclusivity was the one thing that wanted to do everything in our power to make sure that a lot of different people in our culture felt like they were a part of the category.
And not just product-wise, visual-wise, right?
Visually being part of the category. And so in the choice of our new roster of cover girls, in the choice of the vocations that they participated in, because everybody talked about, like, they're all from the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
like, my life is so... they were all actresses and singers and models. Basically, almost 100% of all beauty ambassadors come from those three lines of work. And so one of the things we also wanted to do was to show people different women just totally nailing it in different fields, just to show people that they were all a part of it. So age was a really big one. Having Mae Musk be a part of the family, love her. She's been an awesome addition. Ethnicity was a really important one. So we have great representation, African-American, Hispanic, Caucasian. So you can never represent the whole world, but with every iteration, we're always fine-tuning that and adding new people to the roster. And then in terms of vocation, adding a fitness star in Massey and a businesswoman in Aisha, and adding a model with Mae and a singer with Katie.
Race car driver.
And a race car driver with Shalina. Everybody has a different favorite, which is great, because that's why the diversity is important, because people see themselves in different people.
When I look at other brands, and, like, you know, sometimes we have like a laugh about it, you know, every brand is trying to position themselves as a, you know, women's empowerment brand, whether it's like someone cooked it up in their like Brooklyn kitchen and 5%, probably not 5, 1% goes to blah, blah, to, you know, broader, more like sophisticated storytelling. I do think that there's a risk of like a lot of tokenism. I mean, it's great that they're having the conversation, but it feels really trendy right now. So like, do you notice this, and do you feel like, you know, CoverGirl, I mean, you mentioned that it's always been inclusive, but how do you kind of set yourself apart from the crowd?
Yeah.
And like, are you upset by this, or is it a good thing all around?
No. Inclusivity is something that, even if you're doing it from, first of all, we've always been about inclusivity. And so that's why,
and
for me,
and how is that? Like, people, like, because of your shade range, or because of your...
So I would say shade, because, for example, we have the Queen collection right now, right? And we've had that for years with Queen Latifah, like, way before.
And you're like, Rihanna, come on, we had a bunch.
I'm like, we've had Janelle, we've had Rihanna. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like a lot of the folks who are popular now, they were all kind of, like, most of them were cover girls in the past. And so we've always had this tradition, whether it's Sofia Vergara from a Hispanic point of view, we had Ellen, who at the time was a risky bet, right?
The age defying.
Right. So I think we've always had inclusivity at the forefront
but
of the brand.
It was kind of baked in. It wasn't the lead story.
I guess it depends.
Maybe the Queen collection, but I wasn't thinking like, oh, CoverGirl is like ramming, you know, this message.
Right.
Through
so I would say, yeah. So I would say in some ways it was, in some ways we delivered that through the visualization versus having the specific messaging.
Exactly.
You're right about that. And I think we always want to be able to push that further. And I think that can only, that can only be expanded, to be honest.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I think that there's a part of culture where even if it's tokenism for some brands, it definitely isn't for us. I mean, the other thing I was going to say actually is, I think where you see the heart of the brand, where it really sits, is if you look at not just in front of the camera, but behind the camera. Because I think if you look at the people behind the brand that are actually writing the stories for the brand and setting the course of the future of the brand, you get a very quick sense if they really mean it or not.
Completely.
And I would say on CoverGirl, like, we seriously mean it. And it's not easy, right? It's really hard to get a very diverse team. As soon as you build one, everybody wants to steal them from you. Like, it's really hard, but it's something that we... It's for us, it's really important because seated around the table, the folks actually designing the products, so True Blend Matte Made that we're launching in the fall, the feedback has been phenomenal on this product. But the reason why it works so well across the diversity of skin tones is because the folks who were working on the formula were across a variety of skin tones. So you knew it was going to work when the African-American on the team is like, this is bomb. And your Hispanic on the team is like, this is bomb. And your Caucasians on the team are like, this is bomb. You know that the consumers are going to love it too. And so there's power, I think, in having a team behind the camera who are telling those stories and who are creating those products, because it's inherent that they will be thinking about those audiences from the get-go.
What is an older woman in cosmetics?
Good question. That's a good question. I think the way that some people would define it, right now, I would say anybody older than a millennial in today's category is what the industry would describe as an older woman. But it's so funny that as we were developing the spring collection...
More mature. I was talking... Listeners.
I was like, and for me, I'm 41, so I'm totally in that bucket as well. So I'm like, I'm right up there. But it's really funny, like, launching the spring collection and presenting it to a retailer. And the retailer's like, why are you doing this? Like, the women that... older women, women in their 40s are not going to want any of this. And I'm looking at her like, I'm 41 and I have all of this on my face right now.
Yeah.
So I was like, so am I not part of the category?
It just looked too jazzy. It looked too...
Was she a younger woman?
Actually, no.
Huh, interesting.
No. But that's what I'm saying. We have some preconceived notions about the kinds of makeup looks that people want depending on the age that they're in. And I think more and more and more you find women that are like, I want to have whatever look I want to have. And sometimes it's going to be laid back. And sometimes it's going to be totally full face contoured with the lashes and the glitter. And I'm up for it. And so we have to be willing to also allow people to live the full lives that they want to live and not define it as an industry or as a category.
Yeah. You've been able to, at a really big company, push forward some awesome marketing messages. Where have you gotten pushback from, like, the suits? I mean, you're the suits in this case.
Maybe that slogan changed.
I knew that. That must have been hard, and you had to convince people and show research that it was going to be fine. But, like, where do you want to go that you've felt we can't go yet or they're not ready for it?
To be honest, one of the things that I really like working I love working at Coty is because there's a mindset of we are an entrepreneurial organization. We may be a big organization, but we're going to operate like a startup. And like, we really believe that.
Give us a marketing idea that everybody was like, Conroy, you're crazy.
Seriously. Like,
you said you're having a lot of fun at the job.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like
too much fun.
There really hasn't been any, like, it was such a wholesale change because we literally changed from the positioning to the campaign to the packaging to the new products. And we've had everyone in the organization being with us the entire time.
That's mm-hmm. great.
And I think it's because they've seen that it's been, as we've shown it to people who participate in the category, they've been so excited about it. And if you see people excited about it and you see retailers excited about it, it's like, why not do it? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I really haven't had a significant amount of pushback from the team. I think they've made sure that we went through the due diligence and make sure it was the right thing to do, because it was definitely some risk. But I've had the full support of the organization to go in this way. And that's the only way we could have done this in a year. It would have been possible. You're talking about a $1 billion brand. There's no way we would have been able to make this scale of change mm-hmm. in that quicker time period if everybody wasn't on board.
And what are you just North America? Like, where is CoverGirl sold? I'm sorry, I don't know this. I should know
this. Yeah, so CoverGirl is global. Yeah. But the majority of the sales are in, we lean quite heavily towards North America, okay. but it is global. Yeah.
Which helps, I guess, too, because it's such a like diverse group of people that are buying right. beauty in America, mm-hmm. you know? So. Yeah.
So what's been like the highlight since you've been there?
I think the highlight, I would say, is seeing the reaction from people on some of the decisions that we've made. Starting with the choice of CoverGirls, starting with the launch of the new campaign, the emotional reaction that we've gotten from people has been really strong, even stronger than we anticipated. And whether it's from groups that felt like they were underrepresented, or to some parents coming to me and saying, I'm so glad to see a beauty brand doing this because it makes me feel really positive about what the future looks like for young women. Some of that is with the vocational diversity, like showing them that they can be totally into beauty, but like really love STEM, like with our new clean makeup, or love running a business. I would say at the end of the day, that's probably been the biggest for me, is the emotional reaction that people have had to the brand as a result of the new positioning, mm-hmm. Taking the time to either comment or mm-hmm. write to us, or tell friends of friends to let us know how they feel about it. That for me has been the biggest thing. And then I think really picking CoverGirls who really love the brand and are really behind the mission. I think for anyone who follows me, they'll see that I have a genuine relationship and friendship with all the CoverGirls mm-hmm. on the brand. And they're not just token ambassadors. Like, they really do believe in what we're doing. They really do share values with us. They're really friends of the brand. And that's been great as well.
That's
just building a team of just powerhouse women who share this vision of the future for beauty and are co-creating it with us. Yeah. And that for me is a really proud moment as well, not just for me, but for the whole team, that we have them as friends of the brand.
We can't let you leave without asking about your favorite products. And I know you're about to plug whatever's coming out for fall CoverGirl, which is fine too. Yeah. But like, what are some of your favorites from CoverGirl? And then also outside of the makeup category, like, what's your favorite hair care and skincare?
Okay, cool. So favorite products, I would say the reason why you would say that I would plug the stuff that's coming out now is because it's coming out a year and a half after I joined. And so this is the bundle that start to finish, myself and my team and I like built from scratch to finish. So it has like a lot of the personal things that we wanted. Like, for example, I was super hardcore that the True Blend matte be transfer resistant, because I had worn makeup for so long and my husband's like, don't hug me, because like, you get makeup on all my stuff, it gets on the pillowcase, and then I touch my face and then it's all over all the papers. And so for me personally, I was like, whatever we do, like, can we just make sure that it's transfer resistant so that I don't have to deal with that? So when I say it's my favorite foundation, it's my favorite foundation because it has all the benefits, right? Yeah. You have all the shades, you have all the oil control, you have all that. But for me personally, I love the fact that it's transfer resistant, because that was something that was particularly important to me. And I can wear it all day and like go about my day and not have to worry about, oh my God, am I going to get it on someone's couch or someone's chair?
I've totally hugged someone and like scurried away because I saw like a white imprint like on their like sport jacket.
And so you may say it's a little thing, but that was definitely something that as we were developing the formula was really important. That yes, we make it an incredible foundation, but this was a specific thing that I was super passionate about that made sure that we had that. I'm totally like, I'm a lip girl. I love lots of color. I'm not afraid of color when it comes to lip. I'll wear any color. And so part of what we did, we basically redid all our bullets. So we're coming out with like 48 shades of lipstick that really cream, metallic, like we have, and matte, like we'll have all of that. But that also comes from just from a passion point that my team loves color. I love color. And so we want to make sure that you don't have to go outside of CoverGirl to be able to, if you love the brand, whatever colors you're looking for, you can find them within the brand.
So you have those bold shades that you think we're missing.
Yeah. So yeah, we have the bold and we have the nude. So there's some days that I want a nude lip, but then there's some days I just want black lipstick and I want to be able to do that as well. So we're excited
black
about
lipstick from CoverGirl.
Yeah.
I saw
okay.
it.
Hey, wow.
Yeah. Color payoff too.
Yeah,
one swipe.
I know.
Wow.
Like we're not messing around.
Okay. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to Fat Mascara.
Yeah. Oh my God. This has been so much fun. It was a good girl chat. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's time.
Oh, gosh. We're
here. I'm singing. It's time to raise a wand.
Okay. Well, I've got a good wand for you today.
You aren't even going to comment on my lovely singing
voice?
It was
nice. I will say it was very nice. I can't hit those notes.
Really? I think I hit like maybe a tenor. Like a B flat minor. I don't know. What are you raising a wand to?
So the name of the brand is called Calistyle.
Calistyle.
Yeah, I hope I'm saying that right.
Like it's like a wagon, like a Calistyle wagon.
Oh, totally.
It's a Calistoga.
It's this thing called Swedish Dream Sea Salt Soap. So it's a little square, and it's a tiny little soap. It fits in the palm of your hand.
I've seen that packaging.
It's great.
So chic.
The packaging is fantastic. I actually had the hand cream. I bought it like years ago, and we think we just ran out of it. It makes your hand smell fresh and like sea salt. Fans of Jo Malone Sea Salt and Willowed Sage will be all over this. So this $7 bar of soap not only like leaves you feeling really clean, not stripped.
This is like a body soap?
It's a body soap. Okay. But it also has like little tiny bits of something. It doesn't advertise itself as like having bits in it, but I feel it's mildly exfoliating. And then when I get out of the shower, you can actually like, it really fragrances your skin, smells so fresh. And I think that's so nice. Like wrapping up with a big towel when your skin smells like sea salt and
that's
you're clean.
Like a beach house kind of soap that you discover
totally.
At someone's rich friend's beach house. It's got like a little anchor on the package.
It's great. It's $7 is more than like a bar of soap needs to cost, but it's a luxury that I think is affordable, generally more affordable than other ones, and it makes you feel like $1 million.
Fine. I will take us even less expensive.
Okay,
it makes
let's
you feel
go.
Better. $7 is not that bad for a bar of
not
soap.
That bad.
I've been using a $3.97 brow product.
Okay.
It is called Rimmel Brow This Way Pomade. I don't know about the name. But basically what this is a chubby, looks like an eye crayon.
Oh,
it's
I like
a,
that.
A waxy pomade that's tinted. Okay, here's why it works for someone with thick eyebrow hairs. I do not think it's the right product if you have thin eyebrows or not a lot of hair. But if you have thick ones where you need to fill in sparse spots, but you also, they're unruly.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a waxy-ish consistency. So it sort of tames them down at the same time it's coloring in.
I like that you don't need a brow gel and a pencil. Sometimes I need both.
Right.
This
and
is your twofer.
I didn't even need a brush because I kind of used it like a brush and it just sort of formed them into shape. I do, like, full disclosure, I have to say, because as I was, like, looking around before I raised a wand, I wanted to see what other people thought. And a lot of women point out that it's a bitch to sharpen because it's one of those chubby ones.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, my God, how do I get it sharpened? How do I get it sharpened? You know which one works for this? The NARS double-sided. The NARS Velvet Matte Lip Pencil is the same size. So you need one of those bigger sharpeners. And even still, it has that plasticky wood that's hard to sharpen sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
So Rimmel, if you're listening, yes, maybe do like a twist up next time. But
sure.
Even still, this is a good product for the thick-browed listeners out there.
Good feedback for Rimmel, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I hate when I have a pencil I can't sharpen.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.